Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is so wonderful to hear so many different voices from all over North America. We've got all four corners of the United States represented and parts of Canada. And we may even have a few people sneaking in from the Pacific Rim. Sometimes they identify themselves and sometimes they don't when it's 5 a.m. there. And then I understand that. And then also across the Atlantic, we have people sneaking in from Sweden and England from time to time. And sometimes they identify themselves, sometimes they don't. The only reason I bring that up is just to let you guys know who are catching this via recording or live that there's quite a spectrum of both wellness consultants and, as sometimes we call them, looky-loos, people checking us out. So I just want to say thank you. Maybe it's the Christmas spirit that I'm sitting, 4 feet from our beautiful, although small, I have been told by our family members that our Christmas tree this year, why Daddy allowed the middle daughter to pick the smallest one in the lot, not the lot, but out in the field. But I always get yelled at when I bring home this gargantuan tree that hits the ceiling or goes up into the skylight and barely fits through the door. But that's not the case this year. It's a beautiful 5 foot high grand noble fir, and I think it's absolutely gorgeous. But anyways, enough of that. So Merry Christmas early to everybody. It is the middle of December, but the festive spirit is definitely part of the Rogers household. And with that in mind, I want to, oh my goodness, I don't know how to welcome guests like Bruce Barnes, who is joining us today, because of the journey that he's been on and how much the gift of Meekin. And as I celebrate this month the 22-year mark of being given the gift of Meekin, it truly is. It's not something that we beg people to check out or force upon them. It truly is a gift. And it's in that spirit of gift-giving that, Bruce, I think you and I met a few years ago. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And I was reconnected with you a few weeks ago up in Tacoma, and I thought, I have never taken the opportunity to allow you to share what your journey has been like with Meekin when it comes to have been given that gift. And I want you to correct some of the things I put in my email, but for those people who are listening who never received the email, you've had Crohn's disease. Actually, before you even answer any question, I want to throw this disclaimer out because sometimes people get a little bit too zealous, and I'm definitely one of those, that we look at Meekin as just what it is, that when we get reconnected for the first time to the magnetic energy, far infrared, negative ions, all the other things that God put on the earth for us to enjoy, when we get reconnected with those in a way that Meekin has brought those solutions, those technologies into our lives or into our homes, many times the results are exactly what you've experienced. The body seems to have a way of healing itself. We don't make any medical claims. We never have. We never will. All the results that people get as a result of connecting with these solutions are what I like to describe as just pure coincidence. It's much like if you stay hydrated and drink plenty of clean, chemical-free and mineral-rich water on a regular basis, the body has a way of, water has a way of covering a multitude of sins. So on that note, just because Bruce has had these results with his issues, which was diagnosed early on as Crohn's disease, does not mean everybody that has that particular condition and or other similar issues that are autoimmune disorders or just life debilitating issues is going to have the same results or in the same time frame. So that's a big mouthful. So Bruce, take us back to the beginning. As a teenager, you were diagnosed. So tell us about that.
Well, actually, it's almost right at 40 years ago. I turned shortly after turning 16. I started having a lot of intestinal issues, and originally they thought it was ulcerative colitis. And I wound up starting, that was 10th grade, I started having a lot of issues in and out of the hospital pretty much that whole 10th grade. And just progressively, you know, got worse, and I wound up having my original surgery in June 30th of 1976. Heck of a way to spend the bicentennial on the 4th of July. When I went in, for most of my life, you know, the school years, 5'10", about 110-120 pounds, so it's pretty thin. But the day after surgery, that first surgery, they put me on the scale and I weighed 65 pounds.
Wow.
So, yeah, literally skin and bones. But that actually, for about 7 years or so after that, I could eat anything, do anything. It was like, you know, that just totally got rid of everything. Well, in the early 80s, I started having all kinds of other issues with fistulas or the holes in the intestines and that, having emergency surgeries and that. So in 85, they actually said, you know, we misdiagnosed you. You don't have ulcerative colitis. You've got Crohn's disease. And so then in several surgeries and whatnot, then over the years, then in 87, wound up having another hole in the intestines. Okay, fine. You know, another week in the hospital, good surgery, get it resolved. And it, all kinds of complications and everything. I am almost dying 3 times because of complications. It turned into about just about 21 days shy of a year. So I went in on Monday, February 9th of 1987, and I came out early January of 88, but then wound up having to go back in with kidney stones for a while. Mm. So when you add it all up, it was about 21 days shy of a year total that I was in the hospital. And with all of the medication and drugs and everything they gave me, my body ballooned up and inflated to about 188 pounds very quickly, such that even my skin couldn't stretch fast enough. So it was a horrible year. And being bedridden for about a year, even though they were doing physical therapy while I was in the hospital, my leg muscles were pretty much atrophied, and I needed to have handicapped parking after I got out of the hospital. And, you know, just walking, you know, 50 feet across the room, I would be exhausted. And it wound up, typical night sleep routine with me. Yeah, because it was, the legs were kind of a constant growing pain, just crawling sensation in the muscles. So when I go to bed at night, it would take me about 20 minutes or more to get comfortable and finally fall asleep. And then I would wake up in some screwball position, totally, you know, exhausted, and the covers crashed.
Bruce, if I'm doing the math correct here, and I'm sorry for going into the analytical mode, you were in your mid-20s when all this was occurring?
With that particular year, yeah, in the hospital.
Okay, so, and it's much like several of the people that we've had on Saturday AM Live that have shared, it really is, and I'm remembering Michael, and I forgot how to pronounce his last name, a very, very Italian last name, and then another young gentleman who did his mission overseas, and he dropped 100 pounds in less than a year because of the adverse side effects and the reaction of Crohn's disease. And this is a serious, and would you mind, pardon me for digressing this way, for those of us who just, oh yeah, I've heard, you know, of Crohn's disease, but a lot of us don't really know what it is or how it impacts the body. And you talked about having multiple surgeries, on your intestines or on the digestive organs and trying to repair what, holes or just the tracking of it? Or,
well, the, like my original surgery in 1976, the doctor that I had, the surgeon went in and he told my dad that I'd have a lot of bloody stools and that, just incredible abdominal pain and everything. So anyway, when I was doing surgery, he told my dad that, well, with all the high doses of prednisone steroids and everything else that my earlier doctors had given me, it pretty much had burnt the lining out of the stomach and intestine. So said when he was doing surgery, it was hard for him to tell what was the result of that versus the disease. So he said when they removed the bad intestine, he was saying that he hoped he got all of the diseased portion. So they removed all of the large intestine and about 10 feet of small. And thankfully, you know, he hadn't gotten it all. And you know, I was able to pretty much eat anything that I wanted at that time. And looking back on it, I kind of think as a good analogy of maybe being similar to like leukemia or something where it went into remission for that period of time and I didn't have any issues. And then when things started flaring up again, more intestinal pain and a couple times with holes in the intestine, and I, you know, didn't realize at that time how extremely life-threatening that was, and you know, having to go in and have emergency surgery for that. But it just, after each one of my surgeries, there'd be more food that I couldn't eat just because my body would have a reaction to it.
Give us an example. I mean,
well,
which
for one thing, one time after surgery, just having fish fillet with tartar sauce, okay, and it wasn't a lot, but that evening, it's like my body said, you know, whatever you just ate, we gotta get rid of, and my intestines just went into high gear, and I dropped 5 pounds within a couple of hours.
Wow.
Yeah, and so at that time, I was like, okay, whatever I ate, something my body didn't like, and I didn't know if it was the fish or if it was the tartar sauce or whatever. So later on, you know, every time I'd have that type of situation, I'd just have a little bit of one of those things and see. And sure enough, later on, I felt well enough and I tried a couple bites of just fish and my body did a very similar reaction. I was like, okay, no more seafood. So just, you know, some of that and just other things that just became a lot more difficult, like really spicy food. I can't really handle that anymore. But what I found talking with other people with Crohn's, everybody's a little different. And the way that they, you know, side effects from the Crohn's and just what they can eat or can't eat. And that for me, one of the side effects with the Crohn's is that it shriveled up a couple spots in my intestine, so that's very narrow. And because of that, that's further restricting my diet. So like I can't have anything with pretty much a zero roughage diet.
Wow.
Nothing with raw nuts or pieces of nuts or seeds or anything that could go in there and get stuck. And, so it makes it a bit of a challenge once in a while.
So this signs the fact of really being careful about what you put in your mouth, which, you know, for a lot of us as Americans, that wouldn't be a bad thing. But I'm speaking from my own experience because we tend to, just based on the percentage of fact that 70% of us are carrying, well, let me just rephrase this. I like the phrase, there's more of us to love than there should be.
Yeah.
And bumping into a high school classmate last night, we had that discussion. And her husband, who also we went to school together, they couldn't believe that, you know, I was once, you know, just a few years ago, 50 pounds more than I am now. But it's just because I didn't have any built-in system that would, like you did, that would tell me, hey, you know, you want to eat that, there's going to be some, you know, diverse consequences as a result. Bruce, I know for you, when Nikan entered your life, how many years ago? When was that again?
That was in, around April of 94.
Okay,
although, after that year in the hospital, it was about 7 years of just very little sleep and handicap parking and just not being able to get around very well, and then introduced to Nikan. And, went to a wellness preview, took my dad, little history, one of my dad's brothers was, a chiropractor in kinesiology, and the kinesiology aspect, he had introduced me to balancing your body's energy. So with Nikan, I thought, oh, this makes total sense. Okay. And so went to a wellness preview and took my dad with me and, had my dad sitting on a cushion and a little back flex. And at the end of the presentation, my sponsor asked me, oh, what you guys think? And I looked at him and said, well, you just witnessed a miracle. And said, what do you mean? Well, my dad was blowing up in World War II. He's never been able to sit for an hour. So that's what really got my attention. And so I signed up as a consultant and ordered the sleep system and insoles as my first order. And they arrived on a Thursday, of course, put the sleep system on my bed right away. That night, I was asleep within about 5 minutes, and I woke up, I was laying on my side, I could see the alarm clock, I woke up, and it's about a half hour before the alarm was supposed to go off. I'm thinking, at first, well, gee, I could have slept for another half hour, and then, gee, I'm not tired, and I realized, hey, I'm in the same position I was when I went to bed. And by all coincidence, and I looked, and the covers haven't been disturbed, and I'm thinking to myself, I didn't move at all last night. In my brain, I'm thinking, gee, if you don't move, you're really going to be stiff. So I, it was always sore and stiff whenever I'd get up, and I got out of bed, and I wasn't sore or stiff, and like, wow, this is the first time in 7 years I've got a solid night's sleep, and I wasn't sore or stiff getting out of bed. And, then wearing the insoles, well, where I worked on the second floor, so I would always force myself to walk up the stairs. It would take quite a while, but it would, I'd force myself to additional exercise. And so wearing insoles over the weekend, and I worked from home on Monday, so Tuesday when I went into work, I literally ran up the stairs. And it took me a few months to totally get rid of the handicap parking, but I was just looking back on it, I kind of think, being in that totally sterile environment, away from the Earth's magnetic field and that, and over the years, understanding how important that is to the body, I'm just kind of thinking, it's almost like my body was magnetically deprived or what, deficient or whatever, this just kind of, these products just kind of hit the reset button. Great.
Bruce, it's hard for those of us who have never been around, and most of us have been exposed to somebody that we see while we're out and about, or a family member that has gone through, for lack of a better term, a hellacious experience like this journey you've been on. But it's now been 20 years since you were exposed to Nikan the first time. And I'm just going to assume that over the years, as Nikan has redeveloped and reintroduced several of the core solutions that you've used, like the sleep system, you've upgraded,
yep.
Like our family has. Did you notice an increase in benefits when you made those upgrades?
On the specific, like the sleep system or insoles and that, I didn't really notice specific changes as far as that. Mainly because my personal thinking is that, I've been using those products for quite a while, so magnetic infrared products for so long now. But the one big thing that, because of being on all the steroids and other stuff when I was a teenager early on, one of the side effects that discovered in my 20s was one was cataracts, and that's because of the high doses of steroids. said, well, I haven't taken those for like 15 years or whatever. And it doesn't matter when you're at a young age like that. That's one of the side effects. And then one of the other side effects was osteoporosis in my low back and hips.
Mm.
And like, oh, joy. And so I'd have to go in for a bone DEXA scan every few years just to keep an eye on things. And every time I'd go in, the numbers were either about the same or getting worse. They never got any better. And, of course, in, I forget when it was, in, when the lactoferrin and the osteodance were introduced, I was on the osteodance one a day for about 8 months, before I went in for my regularly scheduled scan. And the guy that was doing the scan was the same one that had done my previous one. While he's doing the scan, I'm like, well, this is interesting. This is the first time your numbers have ever improved. I said, what are you doing? I was like, let me tell you. So, he said that they'd improved such that one of the areas was now no longer osteoporosis, it was osteopenia. And the other one was just into the osteoporosis range. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting. And that's just one a day. So it was shortly, like a few months after that, we had a UCAN event in North Seattle, in which a bunch of doctors, and of course, Dr. Naidu was there.
Mm-hmm. I remember that event. There was about 500 of us, literally crammed in a 500-seat auditorium.
Yeah, and it was just a couple of few months or whatever after the Dallas convention. And when I was down there for a convention, I missed most of the convention because I got the swine flu.
You know, it's fascinating, Bruce, because you and I have not swapped stories on this. I experienced that same convention with that same exact wonderful blessing, and I missed most of that convention.
I mean, it literally, Friday morning, right after breakfast, I felt just kind of raw, and I went laid down for a little bit, and every bone, muscle, and joint in my body hurt, including my scalp. I continued to take the lactoferrin and osteodance and use my magnetic products that I had with me. And literally, a day and a half later, so mid-afternoon the next day, Saturday, it's like it just snapped. Not everything, all the symptoms were gone. And I didn't, you know, while I was going through it, I thought, what the heck is going on, you know? But then, fast forward to the event with all the doctors, Dr. Naidu, you know, there was other people talking about how they had used the lactoferrin to reduce their symptoms of the flu and that. And I'm thinking, okay, that must be what was going on, you know. And so at any rate, I talked with Dr. Naidu afterwards about my issue with the Crohn's as well as what I had experienced with the osteoporosis. And he said, well, since I already had existing issues to help, you know, speed up the improvement, double up my lactoferrin as well as osteodance. So I did that for the year or so, and that had another ankle scan for the bone density, and my numbers, I was pretty much just almost in the normal range, not quite. And then about a year or so later, had another scan, and my numbers are now showing that I don't have any osteoporosis.
And that's been about, what, I'm trying to guess, 4 or 5 years or so. Well, let's see, Dallas, Texas, that event was 6 years ago, 2 months ago. So that was back in 2008. That's when they introduced the Nature Rest Sleep System. I'll never forget that because our lives as far as our family and the sleep that we've experienced with that system has increased monumental, and we're seeing the same thing when people make that upgrade to it, or they get on it for the first time when their body's hydrated and when they've got all the other factors. And I know, Bruce, for you, that, you know, just sharing what you just said about the osteodense and the lactoferrin, and before this call, whether you want to call it a coincidence or a quinky dink, I think it's very ironic that both you and I and we haven't had this conversation about having that swine flu episode,
no.
But I went through the same exact thing. I remember the day that event started in Dallas and waking up in a cold sweat and immediately looking at, you know, Stacy and saying, I don't know what is going on. And so she said, well, I guess we're not going to the first session this morning, and we didn't. I mustered enough energy to make it down to, you know, halfway through the day, and immediately went to people that I knew, my mom and several others. I remember LaVon Wagenbach and saying, hey, do you have any extra lactoferrin? I only brought enough for, you know, one a day, the usual routine for us, and I've already exhausted that supply. And so I, you know, managed to con enough out of people. But how quickly, just like what you said, how quickly the body responds when we give it what it needs. I'm really fascinated with your numbers regarding the osteodense, because a lot of people don't understand, statistically, for those of us over the age of 50 in the U.S., women, 50% of all women have osteoporosis, and they don't realize it until a fall or a bump or something, a bone is broken, and then all of a sudden, then they go get tested. And I know for men, we're in that category where it's 25% of men over the age of 50. But for you, under the age of 50, it was already accelerated because of, as you said, what you were putting in your body and how much that starts to deteriorate and rob from the bone bank and destroy the bone marrow and all the other factors that are going in. But it can be turned around. And I think that's the beauty of what you're saying here, is that by putting a couple simple solutions into the body, if we're dealing with, and having a bone scan is very, very easy to do, very simple, just to get these numbers checked out, and I can't encourage people enough to do it. And I guess the point I want to really, really drive home is that taking advantage of something like Nikan's Autoship program and getting on some simple bone density builders, because all the drug commercials that are out there, that's not...
Yeah, it's scary with all the side effects they list.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, our family got to the point where in watching just an hour of television, when one of those commercials comes on, we're riveted. And I have corrupted our daughters because we're mocking all these side effects and just going, why on earth would you want to go down? Really? And as one of the most recent ones, the gal at the very end, and I know she's an actress, but she says, well, at least I'm not in pain anymore. And we're going, yeah, but what about the pain of your family if you do end up giving into the thoughts of suicide because of the extreme depression? And, you know, that to us is not worth it. And that's what's so neat, because you haven't had any thoughts of depression or suicide as a result of taking lactoferrin or osteodense, right?
No, I mean, no. I mean, and that's one of the things, too, is early on with Nikan, I had joined just before the five-year convention here in Seattle. So I went through that and was introduced to also Human Being More. And just going through, you know, I've been through that several times, but it, you know, that also helped tremendously as far as kind of resetting your thinking.
Well, and that was in, I believe, December of 1994, that event in Seattle, and that's where I first met Mr. Watanabe, the founder of the company, and so you got to hear him speak, and Dennis Waitley. It is an advantage when, you know, the event is in your own backyard.
Yeah.
Makes it really nice. You know, you mentioned Human Being More, and, you know, looking at the five pillars of health, we always usually start with a healthy body. That seems to be, for most people alive, most human beings, that seems to be the issue that really gets our attention. Because without a healthy body, everything else suffers. But then you talk about the mind and getting those things reset with Humans Being More. When did you first go through the experience, and how did, you know, talk more about that being reset? There we go. Sorry about that. So I cut you off when you were talking about Humans Being More.
Yeah, so positive and everything for most of my life, having my last race for it. The positive attitude that Humans Being More really kind of helped solidify and put that forward, as very helpful.
And when was your first human being, Mark?
It was at the 5-year convention.
Okay, so you actually did it then. So again, 20 years ago today. And you had said having your last rites, right? So how old were you when that took place, that event?
Well, first time was 16 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, I was literally bleeding to death, and my dad rushing me to the hospital in Seattle.
And today, so people don't have to do the math, you are how young since July?
56.
56.
About a month ago.
Okay.
But, I mean, I still have a fairly restricted diet, and really it's because of, like, no roughage and that. There's a lot of healthy food that I can't really eat. So it's my doctor and I kind of joke about it that, you know, I've got more junk food that I can eat than I can healthy food, but gotta eat what I can, and of course I use supplements too, but literally, you know, they can't give me back my life. I can't even imagine I honestly don't think I'd be alive today.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And again, referencing the other two people that I've talked to on Saturday morning, and I've talked to multiple others that have dealt with Crohn's disease. I'm thinking of Karen Basil in Virginia, as well as another one that pops into my mind, who literally, same scenario, she was making her funeral arrangements when she was introduced to me, Ken. And we just don't understand how, it's not life altering, but death enhancing. And I know that's being kind of making light of it, but it really is. It's one of these things that we don't understand how brutal it can be, a condition like this.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, when I was 17, actually it was before I had surgery, so probably before my 17th birthday, I was so bad before that original surgery. I did, just for a few minutes, think about suicide. Because things were so bad, and it's like, no, I can't do that. You know, so I mean, it's like kind of flashed through my head, and I can't even imagine if I'd been on some of these drugs they're talking about now that, you know, okay, if you get that thought, I can carry through on it.
Yeah. Well, and the beautiful thing is, and to tie a bow on this great conversation, is that that's part of the past.
Uh-huh.
And that when we open ourselves up to, again, these wonderful solutions that are available to us, and if we're willing to take advantage of them, bring them into our home, and, you know, go from there. You know, Bruce, I want to throw this out here, and I didn't ask you prior, but I think I know the answer to this question, that you would be more than willing, that when we come across people who are dealing with, again, specifically Crohn's disease, or as you mentioned, leukemia, other life-altering. And again, I want to throw the disclaimer out because people get so nervous when we start saying that, you know, especially when somebody hears your story. It is typical, but we can't make any claims that even in the time frame. You experienced this in your very first night.
Mm-hmm. I know people that have taken months and years, but it was all such gradual.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, I honestly think, the products didn't cure me or heal me. It just balanced my body so that it could do what it does naturally and heal itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to just throw it out there, and I might be too forward in this, but I don't think you would mind at all, just giving your contact information for people, I guess what I have done is I've taken myself out of the loop. And when I come across somebody with a specific issue and I say, you know, you really should call so-and-so. You know, recently, a few weeks ago, I came across a lady who was just starting cancer treatment, going through chemotherapy. And I said, you know, you really should call or contact my friend, you know, Barbara Bertucci. And I just got out of the mix and I let the two of them talk. I thought, you know, I'm not going to waste my time doing a three-way. I just let them talk to each other. So I want to encourage those of us who are hearing Bruce's story for the first time. If you come across people, have them call Bruce. Mm-hmm. And let one person talk, because it's the same language. And anybody who's experienced this literally hell on earth, journey of what Bruce has gone through, they know. And so you're not having to get all these other people involved. But Bruce, is that okay if I give out your number?
Well, the number I'd probably go with is it forwards to my cell number, but I have some control over the hours.
Okay, yeah, your landline, correct? Is that what you're
saying? No.
Oh, your cell phone. Okay.
Yes, that's actually, I've got a Google Voice number that forwards to my cell number.
Okay, and that phone number, area code 206.
Yes, it's actually 206-486-0737.
486-0737. Okay. 0737. 206-486-0737. Bruce's number, and again, I apologize because we didn't discuss what would be the best option, but I really, really want to reiterate that this is serious times we're living in here, when people have exhausted everything. And as we jokingly, made fun of the medical community and the pharmaceutical drugs that are out there, it's not turning the situations around. It's only perpetuating, and the damage that's done, and we just accept it as, hey, that's just the status quo. Oh, sorry, it's a bummer. And then next thing you know, we're attending a memorial service. And it doesn't have to be that way. So really want to encourage you. And again, Bruce's story is very similar to others that we've had on the call, and it just seems like this stuff works, and it works every time. But it, as you said, it's the whole package. It's getting into the human being, more experience, and that whole scenario. So, anyway, Bruce, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it, and I know this has been beneficial for those listening and those who will catch the recording. And even though we kind of botched it up there at the end, that's totally my fault. I'm sitting here trying to multitask the parent to a four-year-old who just walked into the living room, and make sure that all the background noise of Sesame Street with Elmo in that irritating loud voice. So
I did record this last 2 minutes, so.
Okay. Well, we'll make it work one way or the other.
Yep.
But thank you again, and those of you who want to stick around, as usual, I got a couple announcements I want to share with you, so hang on 1 second, Ruth, and let me do that thing again.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.